This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Mike and Scott. This story is part of our episode, Cleaning Up. You can find us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. When it comes to drugs like heroin, cocaine, alcohol, we used to think that cleaning up meant to stop using, getting the drugs out of your system, a fresh start. But new addiction science tells us that notion is largely a myth because the underlying addiction is still there after the chemicals are gone. Doctors and scientists are gaining a better understanding about the complex ways this can play out in the brain and why it's so hard to stay clean. Alana Gordon takes it from here.
The story of Nate Robinson reads like a history text for drugs in America. In the 60s and 70s, it was a lot of alcohol and marijuana.
Back then, that was like the hippie time.
It was also the early days of meth. In the 80s, it was cocaine and then crack.
You know, it's like a euphoric feeling. Once that wears off, you want another hit. You know, you'll spend your whole paycheck that night.
Then in the 90s came heroin.
By 97, I looked like a 60-year-old man. And I was in my late 30s. And I lost all the weight. You know, I've been a slim dude all my life anyway. But now I'm done. I mean, I'm burnt.
It was at that point that Nate went into treatment for the first time. It changed his life.
I go to a detox, rehab, go to a recovery house, 14 months clean.
He was doing really well. He got a job in guest services at a hotel.
Feeling, oh my God, haven't felt this good since my early 20s.
But then...
boom, 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 boom. Go back out.
He relapsed.
Bang! You understand me? This particular day, I rode down the wrong neighborhood. Put myself right in the lion's den, as you call it.
Nate saw people getting high. It was all downhill from there. He's been in and out of treatment since. But when it comes to addiction and recovery, relapse is just really common.
My name is Rosa Friedman. I have relapsed 3 times.
Lewis Brown relapsed 7 times out of 5 years.
My name is Mary Coco Brown. I relapsed once after 12 years.
Luke Dunn. I feel like I just had one big relapse and sort of a series of smaller ones.
One Harvard researcher, John Kelly, found in reviewing lots of past studies, people may still be really susceptible to relapse for a long time after getting into recovery.
So, for example, we know that to get 1 year of full sustained remission can take several years. It can take up to 4 or 5 treatments and roughly 8 years on average before people achieve that first year.
So why is it so damn hard to quit, to clear out an addiction? It's a simple question with a very complicated, nuanced answer that has a lot of moving parts. Because relapse varies by person, by experience, by triggers, trauma, and life stressors, good and bad, and the severity of the addiction to begin with. But it's a dynamic that scientists like Dr. Anna Rose Childress have been slowly cracking by cracking a lid on the brain itself.
The amygdalas are glowing and they're talking to the ventral stratum here.
Childress is a leading neuroscientist at the University of Pennsylvania's Addiction Center, where she has been trying to zero in on that moment of relapse.
This is 3 views.
To figure out how to prevent it. There's an old saying in the recovery community that the people, the places, and things need to change. But she says it goes beyond that.
One of the things that was intriguing to me is that people would sometimes come to me with accounts of, you know, I don't know what triggered me. I don't really know. I was okay, doc. 1 minute I was fine. I was sitting there minding my own business, having breakfast. And then the next thing I knew, I felt incredibly pulled. I was on a mission. I was out the door. I don't know what happened to me.
Childress says, at a closer look, the brain contains a really powerful reward system, a circuitry, that for thousands of years has been essential to our survival. It's the one that lights up and goes nuts during opportunities for sex and food.
This is the absolute priority for our brain, is to make sure that we respond to those rewards so that we stay alive and pass on our genes.
That reward system is stronger in some people than in others. There's a sort of dark irony to this, because this would have been a huge advantage during any other time in our evolutionary past.
The very brain that essentially would make us the fittest of the fit, right? That we would be the first to find the food, having sex, essentially keeping our genes going. That brain is the brain that is now at greatest disadvantage in these last eye blinks of history.
The rules of survival have changed, but drugs can put this reward system into overdrive and teach it to continue seeking out such powerful highs. But it's not just the brain's reward system. It's the brain's brakes, too. In the same way that at some point you have to stop eating all the cake, drugs weaken those brakes.
Some drugs of abuse, stimulants like cocaine and amphetamine, with chronic exposure to these, regardless of where your brakes started, actually erode your braking power. You're rubbing them out.
To get a sense of how powerful brain chemistry is, Childress did a series of MRI experiments where she flashed, for just a few milliseconds, a photo of drugs in front of someone with addiction. It was a flash that happened so fast, you wouldn't even notice it. But she saw it still triggered the reward system, lighting up that part of the brain.
And so we're good storytellers about why we did what we did as though we decided it, but some of it actually is occurring outside our awareness. So that's another piece of the picture, is that not all of our decision-making is nearly as conscious as we like to think that it is. But whatever amount of it we had that was conscious and deliberate and that was essentially good decision-making often gets eroded by this disorder in a very biological way.
It's really overbearing.
Well, it's essentially taking away some of what we'd like to think of as our essence, right? And so part of recovery is really trying to get back your decision-making ability, because that really is very close to who you are.
This is why for many in the addiction community, the use and advancement of medication-assisted therapy, like methadone and buprenorphine, which in different ways blocks or fills those reward systems for drugs, is so critical. What's less known, though, is how the addicted brain and those systems change and evolve over time in recovery. That work is much harder to do and is just beginning. So, does all this mean that relapse is inevitable?
People conclude it's a moral failing, that recovery is not possible.
That's not true, not even close, says Dr. Rose Julius.
We don't come to any of those conclusions with any other chronic condition. It does not mean that you have to live with this sort of negative albatross around you forever. It just means that you have a condition that you need to properly manage.
Rose is head of addiction services for Philadelphia's big Medicaid program. And she says the key to all of this is managing it like you would any other chronic disease, through ongoing supports and treatment long term. And part of that process is also amplifying the message that recovery is possible. She sees this with patients all the time. It's why just a few weeks ago, thousands took to the streets in Philadelphia in support of each other and their successes, large and small, during a massive recovery celebration.
I need to be down here. I need to be a part of this. I need to see that I can actually do this, then that if other people can do it, why can't I do it?
So our son is sober 5 years.
And we're here supporting him.
It's been such a struggle as a whole family unit. Sobriety is amazing.
Bring me strength. Getting through it.
You always think that you're alone when you're out there. But here, a lot of these people got the same stuff. Yeah, I wish I'd known them before.
There's nothing wrong with starting over and opening up, you know, and telling people what you need. You need help. You can't do it alone.
I got 24 hours, but I feel hope.
Alana Gordon reported the story.